Big layoffs at one of America's largest banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There's word today that Bank of America is about to lay off thousands of employees. Reports are the nation's biggest bank by assets is going to cut 3,500 jobs in the next few months, and its restructuring plan could push those job cuts as high as 10,000. Let's get some perspective on what that could mean for the banking industry and the economy as a whole. Perry Merling is professor of economics at Barnard College, and he's with us now this morning. Good morning, Professor.
Hello.
What is a mass layoff at such a big bank, like the one we're seeing at Bank of America, really mean? I mean, does it tell a bigger story about the banking industry?
Bank of America has its own specific challenges, but I do think there is a bigger story there. Certainly, the whole economics of banking have been changed. The regulatory changes and the changes in the economics of the industry are sort of long-term troubles. What's hitting the banking industry right now is mainly Europe, the funding pressures that are coming from the troubles that Europe is having. And I'm sure those are affecting Bank of America and all other global banks. That's the thing that I would point to. If I was running a big bank, that's what I would be worried about as a game changer.
What happens if the economy gets worse or we go back into recession? Are the banks ready for that?
Probably not. Almost nobody's ready for that. This is coming as a surprise and a disappointment, and we're going to all have to adjust our expectations. You're seeing those adjustments, of course, in the stock market and elsewhere in falling bank stocks worldwide.
Perry Merling, professor of economics at Barnard College. Professor, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is up about 0.33%, but the S&P is down slightly. The Dow is down about 0.25%, 26 points at 10,964. European shares closed mostly lower today, about an average of 1%. Computer hardware maker Hewlett-Packard says it's buying the British company Autonomy, which makes business software. The deal's worth $10 billion. Gold has reached another record today, climbing as high as $1,881 an ounce. It settled at about 1860. Even though stocks are lower at the moment, for the most part, people are flocking to U.S. treasuries with the interest rate the government has to pay on the debt at a near 50-year low. Those are the same treasuries, by the way, Standard & Poor's downgraded just 2 weeks ago today, which sparked massive volatility in the stock market that we've seen since. Now, as we continue coverage of breakdown, our economy one step at a time, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports now from Washington on how government bonds have managed to stay appealing even after the downgrade.
With the downgrade, it should cost the government more to attract buyers of its bonds. Instead, just the opposite has happened, partly due to the shaky overseas economy. Treasury bonds remain a safe investment. Demand is up, and Uncle Sam is borrowing even more cheaply than before. University of Maryland law professor Michael Greenberger says S&P's move damaged its own credibility.
Pre-September 2008, subprime chunk was getting triple A ratings, and then the United States, who is deemed to be a safe haven for investors, was given a double A plus. That just doesn't make sense.
The two other big rating companies are maintaining the government's top grade. Still, S&P's action shook up Wall Street and has had ripple effects for local governments. Counties and cities put a lot of their tax revenue and pension money in treasury bonds.
The full faith and credit of the United States to us, you know, still means something.
Dan Wolfson is the finance director for Manatee County, Florida. 30% of the county's investment portfolios is in treasuries, and Wolfson says S&P's downgrade undermines the portfolio's value.
We're somewhat incredulous given everything that's happening in the European market sector, that they chose to downgrade the U.S. debt ahead of possibly that of France or even Germany.
The county has been paying S&P to rate its investment fund to reassure taxpayers. The S&P contract just came due, and the county board decided not to renew it. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
First it was Los Angeles, now it's Houston, Texas, that's permanently shutting down red light cameras. Of course, motorists don't like the costly tickets that come with them, but advocates say they do save lives. From the Transportation Nation Project at Station WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
Earlier this summer, Los Angeles turned off its red light cameras. The tickets, which cost almost $500, provoked outrage. And it turned out that under California law, L.A. couldn't really enforce the tickets and was losing money. Houston's next. Last November, voters there chose to shut down the cameras. That led to a complicated legal battle with the private contractor. Now the mayor, Anise Parker, says it's time to heed the will of the voters.
I'm very clear the cameras are going to go off. Also very clear I believe in red light cameras. I think the vote was a mistake.
But Houston and L.A. don't make a trend, according to Ann Fleming. She's a VP at the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. She says fewer than 10% of some 540 localities with the cameras have voted them out.
The opponents of red light cameras are extremely vocal. They have decided that the people getting the tickets are the victims, not the people who are killed in red light running crashes.
One study shows when the traffic light cameras go dark, even more drivers run red lights than before they had the cameras in the first place. I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
And finally, elsewhere in Houston, a woman was dining at a local restaurant, but she didn't like the service. So she complained about it on Twitter, calling the bartender a twerp and using another not-so-very-nice word that we're not going to use on the radio. An off-duty manager of the restaurant saw that tweet and called in, telling the bartender to hand the phone to the customer. The manager then told the lady he saw the tweet, didn't appreciate the name-calling, and if you followed the woman on Twitter, you'd know she was subsequently kicked out, booted out of the restaurant. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
A credit downgrade, isn't that one of the four horsemen?
If we don't get out from under the AA rating, we may have to pay a slightly higher interest rate, but it's not the end of the world.
I guess not. I'm Kai Rizdal. Our not quite so perfect credit rating. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.